that.
Hey guys, this is Steve the Scout. I am the voice of the Pro Football Scouting Show, but there are now two more voices on this show, introducing Austin Smith and Derek Thomas for the last year. This show has been all about me evaluating players, but we are bringing these two gentlemen on the show, and we are now a three-man band and excited for that. This show is brought to you by PigskinNut.com. PigskinNut, the football news that you've been missing, where we have coverage of all 32 NFL teams, every major college football conference, the American Alliance of Football, player profiles and reports, X's and O's, so you can learn about the nitty-gritty details of the game, fantasy football, and, of course, Pigskin Nut Radio, where you get 24/7 football coverage every single day of the year and also hourly news updates every 15 minutes after the hour. If you're tired of lukewarm football news, come to PigskinNut.com and Pigskin Nut Radio. We are the football news that you've been missing, and you can also follow us at social media at Pigskin Nut. Austin, Derek, Austin, how you doing today, man?
Doing good, doing good. Still waiting for spring. I know we sprung forward, but I'm still waiting for spring to show up.
Oh, yeah. Oh, most definitely, because it's hot. I'm down here in Louisiana, and I guess you could say spring shown up, left, come again, winter came back. It's just crazy down here.
Yeah, well, I am in the desert. I'm in the desert here, so we're all over the country, but we're here because of a shared passion for football, more specifically a shared passion for the evaluation process that happens during the NFL draft. So this year, you know, you're hearing a lot of defensive names being talked about, but the guy that we're going to look at today is Michigan defensive lineman Rashawn Gary. You know, when I look at Gary, I see a guy that has tremendous upside. I see a guy that is really a jackknife defensive lineman, where you can play him at a three technique, but you can also play him at a wide nine. That's where I've seen him have a lot of success. So I think he's a guy that you can really line up all over the defensive line. And although he's not the perfect prospect yet, everything that I see from him tells me that everything is going to translate to the next level and he will get better with coaching. Because when I look at him, I see a pure football player. Austin, what do you see when you look at Rashawn Gary?
Oh, he, he's definitely one of those guys that looks really good getting off the bus. He's a guy that you look at him and the size, the physique, everything about him screams that he is going to be a success in the NFL. We look at the combine numbers. I mean, he lived up to everything we knew about him as an athlete. There was never any questioning whether this guy was a dynamite athlete. You know, obviously, like you mentioned, there's going to be a lot of things that he needs to clean up with his game. We're still kind of asking ourselves what position is going to be best suited for his skill set. Obviously, you move people around a lot of these formations, but when it comes to that base package and it comes to getting the most out of him, what positions are going to be, there's still a lot of questions about him, but you're not kidding about the upside. He's got as much upside as anybody in this class.
Derek, how do you see Rashawn Gary translating to the NFL? What's an ideal position for him, and then what do you see just turning on the tape?
Well, I remember when this guy came out of high school. He was a five-star rated recruit, wanted by everyone, and he chose to go to Michigan. His mom was very, very impactful on his recruitment. And I just thought, you know what, when moms are involved, you don't necessarily know what's going to happen. But I followed his career a bit. You know, he played as reserve as a freshman at Michigan, had a blast outcoming as a sophomore. Production kind of tailed off as a junior, but when he got to the combine, he ran a 4.58 40-yard dash. That's fast for a defensive lineman. And then he's not overly heavy. He's 6'4", 277 pounds, and he's solid. To me, he looks more. If a team in a 3-4 drafts him, they're not going to play him at defensive. And they can put him at outside linebacker. You know, the thing is, you don't necessarily know what his coverage skills are. He didn't really do a lot of covering at Michigan, but he does have the athleticism to possibly cover. He did 26 reps in the bench press, had a 38-inch vertical jump, you know, has some agility, 4.29 in the 20-yard shuttle, 7.26 in a three-cone drill. I mean, he does have the ability to, you know, work in space. He's looked at as a pass rusher, and teams that need someone to rush the pass are definitely going to be interested in him. My team, I would love to have him to pair with Chris Jones, the Chiefs, but we're way down in the 30s, so we won't get a chance to get him on our squad. And whatever team that drafts him, whatever he ends up, defensive line, if he gains weight and plays on the 4-3 defensive line, or if he gets drafted by a 3-4 outside linebacker, I think he's going to be a dynamic athlete in addition to any team that he gets on. He's still raw.
Yeah, he's raw. I don't think he's as raw as some of the other guys in this draft. What's, you know, I'll tell you this for me, and I'll ask you guys, what's the best thing that Rashawn Gary does? And for me, it's his inside move. I mean, you see him consistently use that and get home with it. I think he's a good bender. I don't think he's a great bender, but just in terms of getting to the inside, that's one of the things I like about him a lot. Austin, what's the top thing you see when you turn on the tape with this guy?
You know, I'm going to go back to what I said last week when you and I kind of visited the defensive lineman in this draft. And you asked me, you know, big question, Austin, if you're drafting him, what position are you putting him at? And I said, well, then I'm going to look at his best trait. And for me, his best trait is when he times that snap and he explodes off the football like he can, he's as explosive as anybody out of their stance in this draft. Now, it doesn't always happen that way, but when he does, he can be as explosive as anybody. So that was why I was going to keep him as a defensive end, because that's the one trait I look at and say, okay, if that's the one I see the most, if that's the one that flashes the best, and obviously in the NFL, getting to the quarterback off the edge is one of the premier needs for every team. You know, I've got to go with that, you know, being the thing that I love about him most, you know, is just that ability that, you know what, I time the snap, explode off the football, and the offensive lineman is just backpedaling, hoping that he can do something to get in my way.
Nice. Derek, what's the thing you like most about Rashawn Gary?
The thing I like most about him is the one thing that I've seen scouts say they don't like. His best pass rush move is the bull rush. That is just dominating the man in front of you, keeping their hands off of you, and pushing them back, putting them on skates, as we call it. But that's mostly his only move. He doesn't show a lot of pass rush moves, but the bull rush is very, very effective in college. When he gets in the pros, he's going to have to add more pass rush moves, because he just won't be the bull rush every offensive tackle or every offensive lineman that he faces, because these are grown men. They're just as strong, if not stronger than him. So he's going to have to develop those pass rush moves, but the bull rush is definitely going to work for him, because he has the speed and the power to utilize it with great efficiency, but it can't be his only move. And right now, that's a strength and his weakness.
Absolutely. And I think that bull rush is going to work at the next level, because quick out of his stance converts speed to power, and he's got heavy hands. He's a good hand technician, and the way I see him use his hands, I think he's going to get better with coaching. But what his hands are is, you know, they got a lot of power in them. That's a thing that I see with him, and definitely that bull rush, I think is one of his best attributes as well. I mean, you know, when I watch this guy, you know, just, I see a big man who can, who can bend well, who can move in small spaces. And, you know, really an area where I'd like to see him, you know, play at the next level. One thing that I think would be good for him is being a three technique. Now, I know, Derek, you're saying, you know, 3-4 can be outside linebacker, but could you see this guy succeeding as a three technique, Derek?
Yeah, I mean, yes, he has the athletic ability to succeed as a three technique, you know, lining up and rushing the passer. He's still stout enough to where he can stop the run as well. I'm a guy, I like a defensive lineman to be, you know, to have the ability to rush the passer and stop the run, because that's a complete player. If you're one dimensional, you know, teams can take advantage of that. And even though he's looked at as a pass rusher, he's definitely strong enough and, like y'all said, has the speed and twitch out of his stance to stop the run, because we all know when you attack that offensive lineman and you read and react, he has the skill set and the speed to pursue from behind. And he's going to get a lot of tackles for loss with that speed and with his ability to fire off his stance at such a rapid, rapid level.
Yep. I think you could play him again three technique. I think you can play him wide nine, which, you know, they've shown they can do that. So he has a lot of versatility there. Now, guys, you know, one of the prospects we just talked about the other day was Montez Sweat. Now, Austin, if you're an NFL team, Austin, what happened to your video?
I'm here.
Okay. We will cut this part out. So.
Yeah, I had some sort of reminder pop up.
Yeah, I can wait for you if you want. Okay, cool.
Can you see me?
Yeah.
Steve.
Oh, I just went back off, I think.
Yeah.
I can see you.
Hey, can everybody see the same picture that you see, Steve, with the four squares? Mine with the camera off, but with the logo there.
I just see Steve now.
Okay, I'm back. Everything's caught back up, except for the fact that I'm backward.
That actually looks better, Austin.
All right.
Hey, look, there's something that at least me and Steve, and now that I've seen you, you know, we all have this in common. We definitely have the face for radio. Derek looks a lot better than we do. So, you know, see that smile right there.
Thank you. Yep.
No, I'm just giving everybody a hard time. Sounds good so far.
Cool.
All right.
3, 2, 1. Austin, Derek. One of the guys that we talked about the other day was Montez Sweat. So, you know, just quickly, I want to kind of compare these guys a little bit and really ask you, you know, if you're an NFL team, which of these guys would you draft first? I think, you know, although Rashawn Gary doesn't have the same straight line speed that Montez Sweat has, I do like his get off better, and I do feel that he is a better bender around the edge. He's not that much shorter, but, you know, I do see him play with a lot more leverage. Again, you know, I kind of felt that Montez Sweat was playing a bit too tall at times, you know, had some pretty tight hips. Being an exercise specialist, you really want to get these athletes squatting low and all that stuff and playing low, because it's going to help with their hip flexibility and exploding. You know, again, you know, Rashawn Gary's not much shorter than Montez Sweat, but I do think he can bend better. I think he does a better job getting around the edge. And, you know, I think Gary, you know, in terms of hands, you know, I think they both have heavy hands, but I like Gary's better. I mean, if you're comparing these guys, Austin, which of these two defensive linemen / edge rushers would you draft first?
Well, you know, there is an accurate way to compare them. They're both truthfully very raw on a lot of the aspects that they're going to be asked to do early in their NFL careers. So, you know, either way, I don't think either one of them you look at and say, oh, well, that one's going to contribute a lot sooner than that one. As far as Rashawn Gary, I think his versatility is probably what makes me think he goes higher. That's probably why I draft him. You know, to hit on something Derek hit on, you know, this is a guy that could play anywhere, you know, it seems like in the box. I don't know if I'd play him at Mike linebacker, but outside of that, you know, outside linebacker and, you know, the three technique, you could even occasionally probably even line him up on the nose, you know, in special packages. That really gives him the edge in my personal opinion. But, you know, the good news for Rashawn Gary, too, is unlike Montez Sweat, you know, Montez Sweat is a defensive end. Could you stand him up and play him as a 3-4 outside linebacker? Yes, he's probably not as ready to do that as he is to play defensive end. Rashawn Gary, on the other hand, I'm not really concerned with what position you're going to put him at because I believe he's raw in a lot of these aspects. So at the end of the day, he's not exactly taking a step backwards by moving to a three technique or moving to an edge rushing position, whether it's outside linebacker or defensive end. He's not even really taking a step back if you put him as a five technique. He did that plenty at Michigan in their base defense. So really, that gives me a little bit of a – that leans me towards taking Rashawn Gary first simply because – like I say, we're not taking a step back by moving him to a different position, and he can help in a number of different ways for some of these defensive line coaches, some of these defensive coordinators who like to consistently shuffle players around.
Yeah, I like it. I mean, you want a guy that can set the edge. You want a guy that can play three technique, that has that versatility, and Gary definitely has that. Derek, I know you are big on Montez Sweat.
I am.
And with that being said, do you know which guy you're drafting first? Scheme thrown out the window. Just who's the better prospect for you?
I hate to piggyback off Austin, but we kind of agree. Even though I'm a Montez Sweat fan because I'm a Bulldog, I gotta let go of the homer attitude. Montez Sweat is what he is. He's an outside player. You can't put him on the nose. You can't put him inside on the guard. He's too light. By the time Gary gets to the NFL, he's probably going to be 280, 285 pounds, maybe close to 290 pound defensive lineman with that type of motor and speed. So you can move him around. He's an every down player in the fact that he can play outside, he can play inside. And even though we haven't really seen him cover much, I believe he has the ability to also cover. So when you look at all the things that Rashawn Gary can do as far as playing him on every down and then also stopping the run, he's a player that I would probably pick depending on what I need. And I know a lot of if any of my Bulldog fans are listening to this, they're probably upset with me because I did not choose Sweat. But you got to look at versatility and what each player can do. I like Montez Sweat. He plays for my team. I don't care for Michigan much, but when I look at Rashawn Gary and everything he can do, I mean, he's a no-brainer, man. He's the guy that can play every down and multiple positions.
Yeah, and I think simply because of his instincts, his straight line speed, and his change of direction, I think he'd be good in man coverage. I think he really does give you that kind of versatility. You know, I'd love him really, you know, as a wide nine, you know, pure pass rusher, you know, just someone that is going to, you know, be angled, you know, angled back toward the quarterback. You know, that's an area where I'd love to see him. I'd also love to see him at the three technique as well. I think, you know, at the next level, a player that, he reminds me a little bit of, and I wouldn't say it's a, complete 100% accurate comparison, but I see some Cameron Wake in him, actually. What do you, you know, who's a maybe a pro player or a comparison that we can give people for what Rashawn Gary could look like at the NFL level?
Oh, wow. You don't hear a lot of people compare players to this great. He's a Hall of Famer. He played defensive tackle and defensive end. The legendary Minnesota defense, Reggie white.
Boy, I knew you were going to go there with that.
Because when you look at Rashawn Gary, when he comes across with those long arms and that bull rush move, Reggie White used the one-hand bull rush thump move. I think Rashawn Gary, that needs to be a move he needs to add to his repertoire. You know, because we know when you see Reggie White throw that arm out there and just lift that offensive lineman off the ground, I mean, it's a thing of beauty. And Reggie White, while he was a big, very big man, he was also very, very quick out of his stance, just like Rashawn Gary is. So if it had to be someone that I had to compare him to and hope his career ends up like Reggie White.
Yeah, it'd be nice to see him have the Reggie White club move.
Yeah. It's a forgotten art. Need to see more of that.
Yeah. Austin, you have a pro player comparison in mind when you look at Rashawn Gary?
I've got, you know, some guys in mind that I think if you put a combination of maybe a couple of them together, maybe you get what Rashawn Gary has to offer. One guy I looked at a lot when he first got to Denver. Now he's turned into something much different, but I remember Malik Jackson in Denver when he first got to Denver coming out of college, and he really was that player. You weren't exactly sure, is this a guy that needs to be on the edge? Is this a guy that can play inside? You know, some raw characteristics when he was coming into the league. Eventually, Denver fully committed to that 3-4 scheme, got him in that 5 technique role. He rushed a passer from the 3 technique and really became the player he was. Then he turns around, he goes to Jacksonville, and he's, you know, in that hybrid scheme, and he's playing a little bit on the edge. He's playing a little bit inside. There's times he's lined up on the nose. So it's kind of funny how, you know, you look at all the different positions he's played, and you look at Rashawn Gary and you say, wow, you know, the versatility kind of matches up. If we're talking about traits, you know, Solomon Thomas a few years ago was a guy that was really yes. powerful with yes. his hands.
Very similar.
And
that makes sense.
You saw some freakish athleticism from him at times as well. And we had the same questions about Thomas. I know personally I thought he fit better as an interior player, but I know there was a lot of people who thought, no, a strong side end, that's his natural position. But when I see the hand power and I see the ability to at times just flat out explode off the ball and just put an offensive lineman automatically in panic mode before we've even gotten within arm's reach of each other. You know, because you're already just blowing past me and I'm in playing catch up. That really, some of the traits remind me of Solomon Thomas.
Yeah. You know, after you said that, I was like, that should have been mine. Cause that one actually definitely rings home. But, you know, look at the end of the day, he's raw, but everything that I see on the tape and the way I watch him play the position just tells me he just needs more coaching. To me, the reason, you know, in terms of where do I think his value is, I see him as, you know, maybe around pick 15. I think what makes him not a top 5 or not top 10 player is he needs a bigger arsenal of pass rush moves. And like a lot of guys in this draft, he has heavy hands, but also he's having, you know, a lot of times he will get stuck on blocks. So I think if he can, you know, if those things weren't issues, you know, the pass rush moves, you know, getting stuck on blocks, maybe being a little bit more of a better bender around the edge. If those weren't issues, I might put him top 5, top 10, but because he still has, you know, those things, I put him top 15. But again, at the end of the day, you know, you see guys that are athletes and you see guys that look like football players. To me, when you look at his change of direction and you know, just his movement and the way he plays the game, he looks like an athlete and a football player, which is why I think this guy belongs in the top, you know, first half of the first round. Austin, where do you have this guy in terms of value?
You know, just because of the upside, I think the conversation starts in the top five. Now, do I love his fit with maybe the New York Jets or Oakland Raiders or even the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? I don't love any of those fits. However, those are teams that they've got to get better at getting to the quarterback. I mean, really, if you're picking in the top five, there's a lot you need to get better at. But all three of those teams have problems getting to the quarterback. I think all three of those teams are going to have to have the Rashawn Gary conversation. Is this a guy that we can mold to be able to reach that potential? Because if you're telling me that Rashawn Gary is going to live up to the amount of potential he's got, then by all means, he's not getting out of the top five. Where would I be more comfortable taking him? Detroit could always keep him in Michigan. If the Miami Dolphins strike out in their pursuit for a quarterback in the first round, if nobody's willing to talk about them moving up and getting, Haskins or Murray or even Locke, if they wind up on the outside looking in of the quarterback conversation, I could certainly see them saying, you know what, hey, we're redoing a lot of things around here. We want to bring you in to be, part of this new, core we're going to build. I could see Miami being a spot that fits well for him.
Yep, I think so. I think that would actually be a good fit as well schematically. Derek, what's your value? Where does – value wise, where should this guy be picked in the first round?
Well, he feels like he's one of the best defensive linemen in the draft. His numbers sure show that. I like what Austin said about the Lions, keeping him in Michigan. He's not an Ndamukong Suh type player, but he's a disruptor. The Lions definitely help on defense. The Buccaneers could definitely be a good fit. I don't want him in Oakland because I don't want him tearing up my Chiefs offensive line. if I had to see him go somewhere, I would like to see him go to the Jaguars. The Jaguars are a team that they need a defensive identity. And this is the guy that can give that to them on that defensive line. I mean, they're a young team. They were inches away from getting to the Super Bowl a few years ago. I think he could really help that Jaguars defense out.
Yeah, and I mean, Calais Campbell is not going to play forever, so I like that fit as well. Look, ultimately, I think this. He's again. I keep saying it that I think you can play him. You can play him in a lot of different spots. You can play him on the outside. Probably play him as a 3-4 outside linebacker, like Derek said. I think you could still play him as a 3-4 defensive end. I mean, I'm not going to play him as a zero technique, but I think, a three technique, just because of what I've seen him do on the college tape, and because he didn't really get too much opportunity to play three technique, especially in his earlier tape. You saw Maurice Hurst really had that role. I'd love to see what he can do in the NFL as a three technique. And the reason why I'm kind of harping on three technique is again, I think he's got good bend, plays with good leverage, but does he have an elite bend to get around the edge? No, it's good. But I think when you just look at him, get off the ball and cause disruption with those hands of his, and he's going to learn more moves. He's gonna be better with his hands. He's got to add some stuff. But when you look at him, I see a guy that, okay, he is going to be able to handle more. You look at him now, and I'm just like, yeah, he just needs more help. But when you look at the athlete and everything he is, to me, I have a hard time seeing him not find success at the NFL level. I think I think what he has, is really going to translate. So yeah. That's kind of, what I think. Are there kind of as some parting thoughts here? What are the things that, he's got to get better at for you guys? Like Austin, you going first. What does he have to get better at as a prospect? If there's like one or two things quickly that you'd like to see him improve on, what would it be?
There was a lot of things I jotted down, but the two things that they kind of revolve around, and I talked about this a little bit before the show, was awareness and his motor. Now it's tough, you know, to have, you know, it's tough to compare motors when you're on the same field as a Chase Winovich and a Devin Bush. These guys just fly around the place nonstop. Mo Hurst was a lot like that last year, or the year prior as well. So you don't know if you know the guy's just winded or if it, but you always see a difference in who's flying around and him not necessarily always being that guy. But then I also sometimes look at it and I wonder if maybe it has something to do with his awareness. There are times that he really takes a while to realize that this offensive lineman is dropping into a pass set, but this is a run play. I'm on the back side of it, and he's just trying to make sure that I don't get parallel down the line of scrimmage and chase this thing down. And he's 3 yards up the field before he realizes, wow, that's a run, and it's going the entire opposite way, and I have nothing to do with this play. Those two areas I think are going to be things that I think when teams bring him in, when we finally get to the point where they're bringing him in on private visits, I think they are going to really, you know, get with him on some of his tape and say, okay, tell us what you saw here and tell us about the time that you realized what was actually going on in the play. And I think it'll give them a better answer of whether this is a guy that maybe isn't processing the game quick enough. Or maybe, you know, this is a guy that maybe we need to slim him down just a hair to make sure that we can keep that motor revving. Because there are some games, I mean, you go look at the beginning of some of the bowl games they played in where the intensity's sky high. Oh, he comes out and his motor's just as hot as anybody's. So I think that getting down to answer, is it a motor or is it awareness? Whatever it is, a team is going to have to identify it, and then they're going to have to really figure out how they're going to improve that aspect of his game moving forward. Obviously, he's not very polished, but that right there, you can put all the polish you want. If the guy's not processing things right or he's not always giving that full go, now the talent starts to go out the door a little bit.
Yeah, because ultimately at the end of the day, if you're going to talk about the one thing that stops any great athlete or even a guy that does a lot of great stuff on the football field from being great is mental processing, whether that be pre-play or after the snap. Derek, any things with you? You know, what are the main things that you think Rashawn Gary needs to work on to be a better football player?
Again, Austin, man, you're in my head. Watching film, he takes a lot of wide angles chasing plays, and it started me looking like, okay, is he actually seeing what's going on, or is he just using his athleticism to just try and trail the ball? And, you know, he chases the ball down pretty fast because he has that athleticism to allow him to do that. But I did see that when the ball was snapped and it was a counter, he took too long to react in certain instances. The offensive lineman, when you're running away, I mean, we want you on our outside. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes it was a little delay before he was able to, like, process and recognize, okay, the play is going away from me. I need to change direction. He has athleticism to definitely do that, but definitely you have to have play recognition. You have to be able to see in the backfield. Maybe his motor is making him not pay attention to the backfield. He's just trying to get an attack. But you also have to pay attention to what you're attacking and how you're attacking. I'm guessing, depending on what the play call is, maybe Michigan just tell him, just go out there and rush the passer. Don't worry about this. Just beat your man. In the NFL, there's a structure to certain moves and certain rush techniques. And I'm pretty sure once he gets in the NFL, defensive coordinator is going to teach him what he wants him to do on certain plays, not just go out and just beat the man in front of you, but actually be able to read and react. And yeah, he, like I said, he has all the tools that you need. You know, he's a young player. He's a junior, true junior. He's still very young, still has another year of college football left to play if he chose to go back, but he's going to go make millions. And hey, If I had a chance to make millions and still be learning, I'd do it too.
Absolutely. So I'm hearing you guys both echo that. Based on what you're seeing, you know, on the college tape, the mental processing is definitely going to be probably a big adjustment for him at the next level. And Derek, you know, one of the things you talked about was taking wide angles. That's actually one other concern that I have for him, is that when he is closing on the quarterback, I'm seeing him too often take too wide of an angle to actually close in on the quarterback. And I feel he could have gotten a few more sacks, you know, had he not been on such a wide angle. Austin, you're shaking your head, so I'm thinking you're probably thinking the same thing.
Absolutely. The Florida tape I saw from the bowl game 2 years back, there were times against both Taylor, who was on the right, and they had Martez Ivy at the time on the left. There were examples of both, against both, where, okay, now I want to see you dip that inside shoulder. I want to see you drop your center of gravity and explode around the corner. And instead, what I got was continued to go upfield, and there never was. I want to see him get that hula hoop out like they used to do. Put it on the ground and turn those circles. You remember defensive linemen doing those drills, learning
most
how
definitely.
To turn the corner with speed.
Remember when Jadeveon Clowney did that?
Out there, bud, and learn how to dip that shoulder and turn those and accelerate through those turns. You know, that's what I want to see on some of those plays. But I do. I see a lot of that. And you know, like I said, very unpolished. That's something, you know, he was a five technique in their base scheme. He rushed from the interior, not as much as he did from the edge, but still did that quite often in their nickel, you know, scheme as well. So I don't think there's any one position that he's more polished at than the other. So it's not as big a knock for me. But it is, it's absolutely something I marked down a number of times. It's like, gosh, get low, dip, turn, accelerate, go. And we just didn't see that from him.
Yep, absolutely. So I think the consensus that we all have is that what he has, it's going to translate well at the next level, but ultimately he needs some coaching, and there's some things he has to work on. It doesn't sound like any of us are going to say he's a home run lock, but when you look at the tools and understanding how the tools translate to the NFL, with good coaching, you got to imagine he's going to have some good to, you know, beyond that level of success. So yeah, he's a first rounder, but we'll see where he falls. So that wraps up everything for today. This is Steve Fishkin, a.k.a. Steve the Scout, with Derek Thomas and Austin Smith, signing off.